One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams July Summer Sale and get 30% off paints and stains July 18th through the 28th. With prices starting at $34.29, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Hi, I'm Kate, and I'm doing something totally thrilling. I'm running away. Just picturing my parents' worried faces makes me smile. Why, you ask? They deserve it for trying to send me, their beloved only daughter, to some disgusting girls' boarding school. Yuck! No parties, the grossest uniform, bossy supervisors, and no hot-muscled guys! Ugh! That place is for nerds, not me. An it girl and the founder of Clique Chic, our school's exclusive group for the hottest, most sought-after girls. To be a part of the club, you must be really fashionable, you know? I'm talking about a wardrobe full of the latest designer must-haves, manicured nails, and the glossiest hair. Only girls as dazzling as us can make the school hallway our catwalk stage. As one of us, your life will be filled with endless parties and super cute jocks fighting for your attention. Studying and homework? That's not our thing. Those loser nerds who are chasing after us will take care of it.
Hey, do you know those people?
I looked outside and saw a group of bodyguards who were yelling and trying to force my cab to stop. Ugh, this was so uncalled for. $500 if you can get rid of them. The driver immediately sped up. Ordinary people will do anything for a little bit of money. He dropped me off at a service station, and I quickly snuck inside and hid in the restrooms. Ew! This place was gross! Gosh! Those bodyguards were loitering about outside so no one could leave or enter without them seeing. How tragic! This was so stupid. All my parents needed to do was let me stay at home for the summer. But no, they sent those bodyguards after me to ruin my life. Suddenly, a cubicle door flung open and knocked into me. Ouch! Are you blind? What are those glasses even for? I'm sorry. The girl quickly apologized, then she bent down to pick her fallen stuff up. But when she looked up, I gasped in shock. Holy guacamole! What in the world? She looked exactly like me. I mean, at least her face did. Her style was disgusting and old-fashioned. Ew. But given my dire situation, I came up with an amazing idea. Okay, so this is weird. Do you want to make some money? And I mean a lot of money? She gave me this dumbfounded look. Ew. I hope I didn't get frown lines like she did when I screwed up my face. They were ghastly. I have a really lucrative job for you. As you can see, we have similar faces. Freaky, but fortunate. So, I need you to pretend to be me and live my rich life for a month or two. Here's my Twitter account. Just skim through it. You can learn everything about me there. It should be enough for you to play the part and avoid my family's suspicion. And here's your payment. I rifled through my bag and handed her the rest of the cash. Jeez, this must be a huge amount for her, as her eyes lit up like she was seeing money for the first time, and she immediately took it. We quickly exchanged clothes, and as instructed, she went outside to hand herself over to the bodyguards. Ugh, freedom! Now bring on one long, hot summer of fun. But first, I have to go shopping. Wearing these old-fashioned, disgusting clothes made me want to puke. Oh no! My parents have locked all of my credit cards! I can't even buy a soy milk iced latte now! Poof! How could my parents be so cruel? The worst part is, I had stupidly given all my cash and my phone to that girl! With no other options left, I reluctantly searched the girl's bag. A few old-fashioned clothes, some stupid books, and an unbranded lipstick? Huh? Was that all? How can people live like this? But, what's this? In her small notebook was a train ticket and an offer letter to work at Homestay Allen. So, looks like she's going there for a summer job. Hopefully that homestay has a bath with scented candles and a pool for me to sunbathe by. I need to work on my tan. I was glad to get off that flea-ridden thing and breathe in some fresh air. Now where was my ride? There was a short, chubby old man holding a board with the name Clara on it. Ah, the name on the train ticket was Clara. So this meant he was here for me? Ugh, he didn't even have flowers with him, and he could have at least combed his hair. So, turns out that's Danny, the manager and owner of the homestay. Honestly, if it wasn't for the circumstances, I would never have set foot in this stupid place. Oh, how the day got worse. Without even being allowed to rest my weary feet, Danny gave me work. Housekeeping. It was a joke, wasn't it? My nails were not made for menial jobs. Life here was horrible. I had to get up so stupidly early that it was still dark out, then clean a dozen dusty old bedrooms. After that, I would do the laundry, dry the towels and bedding, fold them, and arrange them neatly into each room. At noon, I also had to help the chef here, Anna, prepare lunch, and I was also forced to wash a mountain of gross dishes. I had never done such silly chores like this at home. Instead, they were always done for me. Didn't expect them to be this exhausting.
You should put them in order, so they won't break.
Ugh, where did this nosy guy come from? Are you lecturing me? I replied crankily and walked away. Suddenly... Oh no! This was the 9th time I'd broken stuff since I'd arrived here! And that wasn't counting my poor broken nails! I quickly bent down to clean up, but... Ouch! I cut my finger on one of the pieces. The guy quickly ran over and bandaged my wound.
Bond, that's my name.
Huh? What's this? Did he just wink at me? My heart was pounding. He was cute. Yeah, he was really cute. Clara.
Go do something else. Leave this to me.
Realizing that I'd been staring at Bond for a while, I hurriedly got up and rushed to the kitchen.
Nice to meet you, Clara. I'm your new colleague.
Well, that's not so bad. At least I have someone to share my workload with and to chat. The next morning, I was cleaning the floor, half asleep, when Bond came over, put an AirPod in my ear, and winked at me.
Imagine you're dancing. Then you won't feel so tired anymore.
Okay, this sounded kinda lame, but at least no one else was around to see me, so I decided to just go with it. So I gave it a try, with Bond, and I relaxed a little. Well, I didn't expect it to be so much fun. That night, as I was about to turn off the light, I heard a knock at the door. It was Bond. He wanted to show me a secret, so he took my hand and led me to the beach. Yes, we were holding hands, and his hand was really warm. He took me to a sandy beach and shone his flashlight at his feet. Something was moving under the fine white sand. Ew! What was that? I clung to his arm in fear. Aww, little turtles, I exclaimed as they slowly emerged from under the sand.
Yes, they're cute, aren't they? Let's give them a hand. They have to get to the sea before dawn.
I hesitated because I thought this was so stupid.
When the sun rises, they'll be easily spotted and eaten by predators.
Fine, since Bond pleaded, I had no choice but to sacrifice my sleep to escort the baby turtles to the sea. Why would their mom just abandon her babies like that?
Their mom protected them when they were eggs, and now it's time for them to start fending for themselves. I bet they don't mind. You see, they're all trying their best to crawl towards the sea.
But it was us who helped them.
Then they'll be very grateful to you. And so am I.
Whoa, I'd never felt like this before. It felt like my heart was aching, but in a good way? Thinking about it, I suppose this was the first time I'd ever helped anyone before. Now I kinda understood why my parents did what they did. They just wanted me to be more independent and stop hanging around with those vain, show-off girls. They sure would be pleased if they could see me now, with this sweet and gentle guy. He was the total opposite of the rich boys back home. When I was hurt, he made sure I was okay. He opened my eyes to new experiences, and he didn't try to impress me with dumb flowers and expensive gifts. I've been thinking about Bond all day, and this is the 1001st time I've peeked at him. I think I'll have to confess my feelings before I go crazy. So, that evening, after finishing all my work, I knocked on Bond's door. Huh? Why was a teary-eyed Miss Anna standing there? Then she told me the shocking truth. Bond had left without saying goodbye. Panicked, I walked into the room, but there was nothing left of his. Nothing! No! This couldn't be happening! I hadn't even had a chance to confess yet! The next day, I felt so down. It sucked not having Bond here. But then in my zombie state, I accidentally picked up the newspaper at the front desk. OMG! On the front page was a picture of Bond! God, I couldn't believe it! He was the son of a famous billionaire, and they were looking for him! Turns out, I wasn't the only one who'd run away from home. But why did he leave so suddenly? He could have told me the truth. He could have said bye. Ugh! My untold feelings for him felt like an unreachable splinter in my side. I couldn't carry on like this. I needed to find Bond. With my meager salary, I got on the train back to the city, imagining seeing Bond again. This is without a doubt the most nervous I'd ever been in my entire life. It didn't matter how much I pleaded my case and explained that I was Bond's friend. The security guards refused to let me in. I was about to leave when suddenly I saw Bond from afar. He was with a girl. What in the world is this? I tried to strain my eyes to see. My God. Isn't that me? No, it's the girl I hired to pretend to be me. What was she doing with Bond? And why did they look so close? Could it be?
I was gone for 5 minutes. But 5 minutes was always enough for them. When I went back to the table where my boyfriend Mike and I were having coffee, I saw some girl who I didn't know sitting in my chair. She didn't seem bothered by the fact that my purse was hanging on the back of my chair at all. What about Mike? Well, he didn't seem to have any idea what was going on and was smiling like nothing had happened. It pissed me off. I wasn't ready to put up with another stranger this time. So I decided to act in the spirit of a typical bouncer. I walked up to her, grabbed her by the hair, and dragged her aside. Ouch! The girl screamed. What are you doing? Help! I was attacked by a psycho! You'll know how it is to hit on my boyfriend. A shocked Mike froze and decided not to interfere. Finally, I let go of the girl's hair. And she ran away so fast, she should be in the Olympics. Everyone in the cafe looked at me with horror. She was messing with my boyfriend. As if apologizing, I said and returned to the table. Hi, my name is Katie. I'm a little jealous, but I can't help it. My boyfriend is incredibly handsome and graces the covers of many fashion magazines. Mike was 17, and he was already working at a very famous modeling agency. He participated in fashion shows, starred in commercials. I do not know what he saw in me, but it was love at first sight. I had just moved to a new school, and I was already head over heels in love with the handsomest guy in the world. That's usually how an unrequited love story starts. But I got lucky. Mike came up to me one day and said,
"Would you like to go to the movies?"
I was taken aback, but still squeezed out of myself. Sure. And so we started dating. Yeah, some would say I found my happiness. And I kind of agree with that. But it wasn't that easy. Mike was never alone. He had girls around him all the time. At school, in class, at the modeling agency, cafes, movies, the playground. It was as natural for Mike as breathing. I was suffocating with jealousy. But that was just the beginning. In and out of school, I was always near him. I was more or less calm about Mike. But when he went to Paris for a week, I started going crazy. And with eyes red with fatigue, I was 24 hours a day monitoring his social media. And God forbid there was a girl in the picture. And then Mike was back and I was happy again. As for the cafe scene, yeah, I lost my temper a little bit there. But it's understandable too. Once we were supposed to do a biology project. When they started announcing couples, I had my fingers crossed. I wish it was Mike. I wish it was Mike. Miss Morris, meanwhile, announced, "Katie and Rob." "Oh, shit," I blurted out, but quietly. Miss Morris continued, "Mike and Tiffany." It was comparable to a knockout. Tiffany is the captain of the cheerleading squad and just a walking stereotype of the school beauty. After class, I went up to Miss Morris and tried to protest her decision. But all I got in response was, "Your opinion doesn't matter here." Rob, who had been standing beside me the whole time, said,
"Are we going to work on ours?"
I let out a sigh of despair and nodded affirmatively. Rob was over the moon, and I noticed that he liked me for a long time. When I found Mike at recess, I asked him, "Where will you be working on the project?"
"Tiffany invited me to her house." "Cool, I think they have a hot tub."
I tried not to show, but it was hard. Not only was Tiffany beautiful, but she lived in a huge mansion where she was allowed to do whatever she wanted. Her parents worshipped her like a deity. She could do nothing but dance, though. I tried to start from afar. "Look, is Tiffany even good, do you think?"
"Kind of,"
Mike answered briefly. "And she can dance."
"I think so."
I couldn't help but blurt it out. "Do you think you could fall in love with someone like Tiffany?"
"What? What's your point?"
"Just answer it."
"I don't think I want anyone but you."
I smiled, but it didn't make me feel any better. Tiffany had her eye on Mike for a long time. I knew that for a fact. She'd told her friends in the locker room once, "If I was dating Mike, we'd be the prettiest couple in school." "Well, that's not going to happen," I whispered.
"What?"
Mike asked back. I said, "I love you."
"I love you too."
It was project day. We had to do an experiment on a live mouse and find out how the reward system worked. This required building a small cage and a cheese dispenser, like in the textbook. Generally, I loved biology, so I was sure that Rob and I would have no problem, especially since he was a straight-A student. I invited the guy over to my house. Rob showed up an hour early and brought a bag of chips and a Coke. We started working on the project, but something inside me was rebelling. I couldn't concentrate and reread the textbook page by page just to understand it. I couldn't stop thinking about Mike. Knowing that he was in Tiffany's house at the same time was excruciating. Rob, meanwhile, had finished the cheese dispenser and asked how things were. "Great," I lied. "But, you know, let's put it on hold for a while."
"But we have to turn it in soon."
"We'll make it." I wanted so badly to go to Tiffany's and take a peek at what was going on to put my mind at rest. But I didn't want to go alone either, so I lied to Rob again. "Look, there's just one thing we're missing here. We need to go somewhere and get it."
"Why don't I run home?"
Rob suggested. "Don't be silly," I said, and we went to Tiffany's. I didn't know what to do yet, but I was determined. Mike is a great guy, but he doesn't know how to say no. He's too cooperative, and who knows what can happen when he's around a girl like Tiffany. I knew where she lived beforehand. I guess I felt like I couldn't take it. So there we were. The house was really big, like the kind of mansions where old reclusive aristocrats live, or vampires who lure young girls there. At that moment, Tiffany herself was the kind of vampire I needed to get rid of. "Here we are," I told Rob.
"Wow, is this Dracula's residence?"
That's funny. Rob was embarrassed. "All we have to do is sneak in through that window on the second floor."
"What? I thought we were here for a detail."
"Yeah, that's where Tiffany lives. And while I'm looking for the part, you're going to ring the bell and pretend you're an encyclopedia salesman."
"But she knows me. We're in the same class."
"Trust me, she has no idea who you are."
"Okay, fine. But I don't like it."
I patted Rob on the shoulder and climbed up to the second floor, gripping the gutter tightly with my hands. It was pretty high, and I didn't want to fall down and die right here in front of Tiffany's house. As I climbed onto the balcony, I looked down and waved to Rob. He waved back. I waved for him to go to the door and ring the bell. The guy left. I opened the door and went inside. Everything in Tiffany's house looked pompous and expensive. Marble floors and stairs, huge chandeliers, paintings on the walls. "Yes, a vampire lives here for sure," I whispered to myself. I walked down the long hallway. I didn't know exactly where the terrible Tiffany's lair was located, where she lures naive, handsome guys like Mike. At that moment, Rob rang the doorbell. I barely had time to hide behind the curtains. First, I saw Tiffany come out of the room, and then I saw Mike. He came downstairs too. While they were gone, I slipped into the room. There was a mouse cage on the bed and a textbook next to it. "Well, that doesn't mean anything yet," I decided. "We need more information." I couldn't think of anything better to do than hide in the closet. A few minutes later, Mike and Tiffany returned.
"Rob is a weird kid,"
Mike said. "I've never seen him before," Tiffany said.
"He's in my class. I still haven't figured out why he came here. Okay, let's keep going."
"Let's. Where were we?"
"Something that makes you feel good."
Ah, that's it! I couldn't take this betrayal anymore and jumped out of the closet. I knew it! Tiffany shrieked in horror and rushed over to Mike. "You're in love with Tiffany!"
"What are you doing here?"
There was no face on either of them, watching you cheat on me.
"But we were just working on a project."
"I heard everything. Where did you settle on? What makes it fun?" I mocked Mike ineptly.
"That's part of the experiment. You have to give the mouse food to program its actions. Without pleasure, it won't budge."
There was an uncomfortable pause.
"We can't go on like this,"
Mike said irritably. "What are you talking about?"
"Your paranoia."
"But..."
"No, Katie, it's over."
Mike, not wanting to hear my excuses, left the room. "I guess you can find your own way out," Tiffany told me sarcastically and ran after Mike. I came home depressed. I couldn't believe Mike had left me, all because of Tiffany. "Who am I kidding?" my inner voice said. "This was all my fault. Why did I have to go to her house? I knew Mike would never lie to me, but it was too late." I woke up with the distinct feeling that I had to get Mike back. But how? Thinking about how to get my boyfriend back, I had completely forgotten about my project with Rob. Thankfully, my classmate had done it alone. I found Mike and Tiffany at school, standing at their desks, talking. I went over to the girl. "Look, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to barge into your house and act stupid. What else do you call someone who doesn't trust her loving boyfriend? Anyway, I'm sorry." "Okay," Tiffany replied. I went back to Rob in the mouse cage. Both of our projects got top marks. I didn't have much to do with it, though. But I promised Rob I'd go to the movies with him to see his favorite sci-fi movies sometime.
"Cool,"
the guy was happy. After class, Mike came up to me and said, as if nothing had happened,
"What a hassle with these mice. Try to get them to run a maze for a piece of cheese."
"You did it."
"So did you."
He took my hand and walked me home. Of course, my jealousy didn't magically disappear, but at least now I wasn't sneaking into other people's houses and punching the next girl who fell in love with Mike. Beauty requires sacrifice. What would you do if all the girls at school were in love with your boyfriend and tried to take him away from you? Write your answers in the comments, like the video, and share it with your friends.
Hey guys, my name is Gloria, and you won't believe it, but I eat money.
I love its taste and crunch. But it was not always like this. It's just that at some point I wanted to try something new in my life. To be honest, this turned into certain trouble for me. I live in a very wealthy family. My parents are big businessmen who sell cars all over the world. So I have everything that any teenager can dream of, and even more than that. For example, on my 13th birthday, my parents gave me a yacht on which I had a cool party. And when I turned 14, I got a helicopter. And if you think that's cool, you're wrong. You see, when a person doesn't have a lot of money, they can dream and get incredible emotions from purchases. But I can't do that. I have everything, and I no longer dream of anything. And new expensive things do not evoke any emotions in me. Lately, I have lived as if in a vacuum that was covered with gold. Everything around me was shining and sparkling, but this didn't impress me. However, one day, everything changed. Once, my classmates and I were hiking, but had a little trouble. The branches of the trees were wet because of the recent rain, which, by the way, hadn't been mentioned in the weather forecast. In addition, Leo even forgot to take paper, despite the fact that he was responsible for the things that were necessary for the fire. This meant that we would not be able to make it. We were already getting a bit nervous because Leo's lips were blue from cold, and my hands became numb. The rest of my classmates tried to keep warm by hugging each other. We needed too much time to go back, but we were already exhausted, so we had to stay there and shiver with cold. Some of us have already begun to think that we would freeze to death there. And for some reason, it was at this moment that one brilliant idea came to my mind. I completely forgot that I had several bundles of notes in my backpack. I took them out, calmly set them on fire, and then put more or less dry branches on them. This was how we got fire. The guys didn't cry as much from the horror stories that we told each other on the way as from me burning the money. They were really upset seeing this, while I actually felt some kind of pleasure. I loved seeing shocked faces around me, and it evoked emotions in me. I decided not to stop there. So when I got home, I ordered the housekeeper to light the fireplace. And when the flame was blazing in it, I was throwing green bills there. I enjoyed watching the fire consuming them, because at that moment, I felt almost like the lord of the world who could afford anything. However, I quickly got tired of it, and again I found myself in a void. But I did not want to be there so much that I decided to do another crazy thing. I smashed my car, which cost several million, with a bat. And after that, I cut many of my branded clothes with scissors. But the problem is that I still do not feel joy and happiness at all. And then, one evening, while suffering from idleness, I was watching a YouTube video of a girl eating a $100 bill. At that moment, I thought that she was crazy. But a little later, this idea seemed very tempting to me. I took a $10 bill, tore it in half, and ate it. Well, you won't believe it, but I even liked the taste of money. Also, the note crunched so cool on my teeth. And since then, I ate several bills every day. Once, I came up with the idea of making a salad out of money and adding garlic sauce to it. That was yummy. But then I wanted to show everyone how cool I was. Right at school, I made myself a sandwich with $100 bills and ate it in front of my classmates, licking my fingers. They were shocked and asked why I was doing this. I replied that I liked the taste of money and then suggested that they try the wonderful sandwich too. Leo said that I was nuts and I was doing some kind of bullshit. Because of my antics, I lost a friend who, for some reason, didn't want to talk to me. He began to ignore me, and it seemed silly to me because I did not judge him for eating a lot of burgers.
However, Leo's ignoring did not stop me, and every day I continued to eat money in the school cafeteria. The guys told me that I was crazy, while I found their reaction funny. And then I decided to go to a new level. After coming to the park, I sat down on a bench, took out my wallet, and started eating money. I also made a thick straw out of bills and began drinking a milkshake. Some people were looking back at me, while others were making comments, and one guy even took my wallet with money and ran away with it. I just laughed at it, because it was already empty. Then some old lady sat down next to me, and after looking at what I was doing, she condemned me and said that I did not value anything in this life. I didn't want to listen to the moral teachings on how I should behave, so I decided to visit my favorite cafe to get a coffee and cheesecake. But this turned out to be a real disaster for me because I was badly poisoned and in the evening called an ambulance to be taken to the hospital. While I was lying in the ward after the stomach wash and waiting for my test results, I published an angry review on the page of that cafe, mentioning that one could easily get poisoned there. However, when the doctor entered the room, he said that the printing ink caused my poisoning. He asked what I had eaten on that day, and I told him everything, emphasizing on the coffee and cheesecake. But the doctor said that my addiction to banknotes, which were soaked in a very dangerous and toxic paint, was to blame. He added that if I had continued to do the same thing, I would have died of poisoning very soon. I immediately deleted the review from the restaurant page and thought that I would again have to look for some crazy way to evoke emotions in myself. And I will also have to say goodbye to the wonderful taste of money. This made me really upset. And because of negative thoughts, I could no longer stay in bed. I decided to take a short walk down the hospital corridor and call my parents. They were abroad at that moment, but promised to send a driver with a package of normal food. And when I was waiting for it, I noticed a girl not far from me who was sitting on a chair and reading a book. I was very bored and decided to chat with her. Her name was Dina, and she also got to the hospital because of poisoning. We got into a conversation, and I thought that Dina was a very interesting girl who was wise beyond her years. When I was handed a whole bag of groceries, I was very happy, and then I noticed with what desire Dina looked at it. I asked if she had anything to eat besides hospital food, and she said that her parents didn't have the money to buy that much food. It turned out that Dina was from a poor family where all the attention was devoted to her disabled younger brother. He needed care and expensive medicines, which consumed most of the family budget. Dina said that she was not mad at her parents because they were trying to help him. Her story moved me, so I gave her my entire package. I also felt terribly ashamed. For a long time, I did not know what to do with money, and because of that, I started eating it. While many people cannot afford even basic food. Ugh, what a blind idiot I was. Before my discharge, I handed Dina a check for $100,000 to make it easier for her family to support the children. She refused it at first, but I still convinced her to accept the check. And then I decided to help other children and families. That's why I gave all my pocket money to charity funds, so that there would be more and more happy and healthy people in this world every day. Why haven't I thought about this before? It's so great to help others. While being engaged in charity work, I finally began to experience vivid emotions, which were, in fact, only positive. It was much cooler than burning and eating money because they made me feel relevant and useful. If you had as much money as I do, what would you do with it? Give your answers in the comments. Don't forget to click on the thumbs up button below the video and be sure to share it with your friends. Bye-bye.
My name is Olivia, and my father is an oil tycoon, and I am his only heiress. You're going to think, how cool is that? But it's not. What really stifles me is the constant sense of responsibility imposed on me. The pressure came from a very young age.
Olivia, my whole business depends on you. You're responsible for thousands of working people feeding their families. I put my heart into this business, and you can't just let it all go.
Those were the words I grew up with my whole life. At the same time, my father constantly had no time for me. Business meetings, business trips, and disappearing into the office around the clock. I grew up surrounded by servants and nannies. Naturally, my father made sure that I didn't want for anything. Anything except parental love. You see, my mother abandoned me when she and my father divorced. I was only 2 years old at the time. Because he needed an heir, he offered my mother a tidy sum of money to leave me with him. And you know what? She gladly agreed. She took the money and flew to another country. Throughout my upbringing, she never once called to see how I was doing. More recently, my father put me to work for his company. He got me a job as a manager. He always said that by understanding the whole structure of the company from the ground up, you can achieve a lot. But I don't need that at all. My dream is to be a fashion designer.
Olivia, you have to carry on my work. I've sacrificed everything for that.
Daddy, I don't want to run the firm. Let Oliver do it. Daddy just sighed heavily and looked at me in a way that made me realize that I had no choice. Oliver was the son of my father's driver, Mr. Stewart. When Mrs. Stewart died, Oliver was only 10 years old, and then Dad offered to help his coworker, help raise his child. He provided them with a cottage, on our estate, paid for a good school for the boy, and then university abroad. Oliver is only 3 years older than me, but from childhood, he was very smart. He, like me, was supervised by servants and nannies. You could say we grew up together. When I started working for my father's company, Oliver and I started seeing each other a lot. I'm told you're doing a good job.
I try to. You know how Dad is. He always gets what he wants.
That's the quality that made him an oil tycoon.
Yeah, but I don't have that quality.
That's what you think.
Oliver always looked at me strangely, very strictly, and always quickly looked away from me. I even thought that maybe he was jealous of me.
As everyone around me said, I was living my life like cheese and butter. Like I've had all the best since being in diapers. But we had one thing in common. We grew up without love or mothers. Every day, Oliver would come and see how I was doing in school. It made me really nervous. I knew it was on my father's orders. Anyway, he was still keeping an eye on the whole process of becoming his heir.
Ollie, stop coming around here. Are you following me or something? Tell Daddy I'm fine.
He's just worried, you know? It's only natural.
Yeah, and you're his personal spy? Okay, go report.
And so the days went by. Oliver and I became closer. Sometimes after work, he'd give me a ride home, and the whole way we'd just talk about anything and everything. That's when he told me that my dad didn't send him to spy on me. He was just worried about how I was doing at work. One day, Oliver came in pale as a wall.
Ollie, what's wrong? Are you sick?
Olivia, your mother is back. She's in your father's office right now.
I felt like the ground had fallen out from under me.
I don't remember how I got to my father's office, how I opened the door. The whole time, Oliver was following me, afraid I was about to fall over.
Mom? What are you doing here?
Oh, my girl, how you've grown!
Mommy reached out to hug me.
What are you doing here? I asked you a question.
I was very offended by her. She left me, or rather sold me. She took my father's money and drove off into the sunset. I ran out of the office, unaware of myself. I only woke up when Oliver pulled me against him in the driveway. That's when I realized I'd gotten too far away from the office, and I turned around sharply, but Ollie wouldn't let me go, and I just snuggled into his chest and started crying. I hadn't heard from my mother in years, and now she shows up and pretends as if nothing happened?
Why did she show up? Did she run out of money? Has she come to ask for more?
Maybe she's repented. After all, she is your mother and she loves you.
If she loved me, she wouldn't have left me.
You need some rest. Let me take you home.
Oliver brought me back to the manor. I was afraid to run into my mother, unprepared to talk to her or have her come into my life like this. The next morning, I got ready for work, but my father told me to get some rest. It was a good suggestion.
I got ready to drive out of town to clear my head. While I was walking to get the car, Ollie pulled up next to me and offered to go with me. Turns out he'd taken the day off too. Said he had some errands to run. We drove out to our country house. There was a stable there and my favorite horse, a present for my father for my 5th birthday. We harnessed the horses and rode into the mountains. The fresh air and the ride cheered me up, and Oliver was trying to cheer me up too. We got along so well as children, Ollie. Yeah, it was so long ago.
Why did we stop being friends?
Well, I don't know. I decided to get an education, to achieve everything on my own, so my father could retire.
But that didn't stop us from talking.
Olivia, to be honest, I've always really liked you, but I understand that I have no right to even look in your direction. I'm just your driver's son.
I couldn't get a word out. I couldn't imagine such a turn of events. I liked Oliver too, and when I was 10 years old, I was already in love with him. But he was so cold and hard to me, and I believed he thought I was just annoying, and then he went to study abroad. We talked about a lot of things that day, and then when we drove home, I knew that I wanted him to always be there for me. That's what I told him.
That night was the beginning of the end of my usual life. I tried to live my life as before, except my mother kept trying to talk to me. One day, she caught me alone at work.
Darling, let's talk.
I only have one question for you. Why did you leave me?
It's hard to explain. Your father was adamant. My relationship with him had already gone bad. We were getting ready to divorce, but he told me to leave you with him.
Yeah, he offered you money and you chose that over me.
It wasn't like that. He said that if I didn't agree to his terms, I would never see you again. He only let me come back to the country when I started working for his firm.
There was so much pain in my mother's words that I believed her, and my father had always been a man of steel. I could believe my mother was afraid of him and agreed to his terms. From that day on, we started spending a lot of time together.
I told Oliver everything. He supported me and said he would love to see his mom again too. Every night, Ollie and I went on dates, took walks, and went for car rides around town. With each passing day, he became someone with whom I shared my innermost feelings, dreams, and worries. My father eventually found out about our relationship. He was as angry as ever. I honestly didn't even expect him to react that way. Dad threatened to fire Oliver and his father if we continued seeing each other. He put guards on me and forbade me to leave the house. I was only allowed to go to my mother's hotel to visit her. So, Oliver and I decided to run away, someplace where Dad wouldn't find us. We agreed to meet at the same hotel where Mom was staying, and she promised to cover for us. Late that night, Oliver went out to get plane tickets. We were supposed to leave that night, but he left and never came back. I called him over and over, but his number was disconnected. He didn't reply to my messages either. So it went on for a few days, and then my dad's security guards came to get me and took me home. I was so angry at Oliver, and I was also very hurt by the betrayal. When I got to our manor, my father came out. He was very angry and upset. I didn't want to talk to him, but I knew I couldn't avoid it.
Olivia, we have to have a serious talk. You're not going to like what I have to say.
I don't want to talk to you right now, but I guess I don't have a choice, as usual.
I understand you're upset, but there's something you need to know.
Then Oliver came in. He couldn't look me in the eye. He knew that he had hurt me.
You've got a lot of nerve showing up in front of me, Ollie.
Don't be angry with him, dear. He had to do it.
Did you pay him money to leave me too?
It's not like that, Olivia. When I came out of that hotel, I saw your mother.
And then Oliver told me that he saw my mother in the hotel with some man and overheard them talking. Turns out my mother had come here with her new husband. They were planning to steal the firm away from my father with my help.
As mother had planned, father and I began to fight a lot, and Oliver was the reason for it. But my mother planned to support me in everything and at the same time, break me and my father up. And when I took over the firm, she would put her husband in the CEO seat and live happily ever after.
As soon as Ali heard this, he immediately went to my father and told him about the situation. And all these days, they were meticulously gathering evidence.
My father said he was sending my mother back abroad today, and he told her not to show her face to us. Now he's made Oliver his deputy until I want to run things myself. Or until I marry Oliver.
Share this podcast to all social media, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook and so on, and you'll be given a shout out. Also drop your social media username so that we can find you. Thanks for your support. Make sure you subscribe to our YouTube channel by clicking the link in this episode description. You should also please follow or subscribe to our other podcast My Animated Story by clicking on this episode description. And also, kindly please rate and review this podcast. Bye.
Hi everyone, my name is Audrey, and I am the prickliest girl in my class. I was nicknamed a witch because I cut off my entire environment from me. In the blink of an eye, I cut off relationships with friends, acquaintances, and even my boyfriend. Have you ever done that? I'll tell you how it happened, and most importantly, why I decided to burn bridges after all. There were a lot of different people in my class. I had my own friends, my friend Evie, April, and my boyfriend Edgar. The four of us went together everywhere. They even called us the foursome. I adored my friends and loved my boyfriend. We could share everything, and I knew these guys would always support me. However, there was one thing I never did or told even them. My mom used to say I was good. She really thought my friends were my reward.
"Someday I'll meet them, I promise you. I'll do anything to make sure you don't feel ashamed," she said.
And then one day, life was divided. I drew a line and decided I didn't need these people anymore. I missed a couple of days of school and didn't answer my phone. Evie, April, and Edgar kept calling and texting, but I just ignored their messages. I walked into class and didn't even look in their direction and just sat down at my desk. The guys in my boyfriend's faces stretched. They ran up and started hugging me and asking me questions. And I said, "I'm sorry, guys. I don't want to talk to you anymore."
"Are you kidding me?
What's wrong? Tell me, is it something at home?"
"Audrey, why?"
I stared at the spot in front of me and didn't even blink. Amanda walked by, the pest in my life. Amanda is a girl from a wealthy family who hadn't been taught to respect other people's lives, and what she loved more than anything was gossip and intrigue.
"Just like that, our Audrey suddenly became a witch? None of your business, Amanda, just piss off."
"Why? She's my classmate too. And I'm also wondering what happened that she suddenly doesn't want to talk to any of you. Or maybe you two hooked up with Edgar?"
"I'll give you something better to do with your face. Would you like that?"
April clenched her fists, but Edgar stopped her.
"Just, I'll talk to you later. Amanda, stay out of this."
"This is just the beginning."
My friends sat back down, and I just kept looking at the blackboard in the classroom. They were waiting for an explanation, but there wasn't one, so I headed for the door. At the school gate, someone grabbed my arm and turned me around, and it was Edgar. He stared into my eyes, his voice shaking and his hands shaking, asking what was wrong, where his mistake was. I told him coldly, "I don't love you anymore." It was like he got electrocuted. He cringed, his eyes reddened, he was in great pain, and I turned and walked on.
"For what? For what?"
he shouted after me. I got home, threw off my bags, and went about my chores. In my chat room, my classmates kept talking about me.
"Witch. She's a witch."
"Yeah, she didn't even say hello to her friends or her boyfriend."
"Apparently, she showed her real face."
I reread those messages over and over again, and my insides clenched with anger. Then my mom walked into my room.
"Audrey, honey, how are you? I haven't heard from your friends in a while. How's Edgar?"
my mom asked. I told her that they were doing well. Evie was about to fly to the Czech Republic for a couple of days vacation with her mom. April had gotten a new car, and Edgar was continuing to help out with a family business. Mom smiled.
"I'm glad your friends are doing well. They really love you," Mom said.
And then I cried. Then I packed up my things, kissed my mom, and told her I'd go get medicine after work. I ran to one of the buildings, put on my uniform, grabbed a mop, and started mopping the floors. And as luck would have it, the elevator broke down. I had to run between floors on foot with a bucket and rags in my hands. 3 hours later, I came out of there tired,
and I forgot to take off my uniform and gloves. Shit, I said, and wanted to go in there again, but came face to face with Amanda. I was confused. No one in the class was supposed to know that I worked as a janitor. I put my face down and walked past her as fast as I could.
The next day, she met me in class.
Hey, Audrey, will you mop the floors here? She asked loudly, but I didn't say anything.
April then walked over to me. Hey, is everything okay? What is she talking about? She asked me, but I didn't even look at her. April threatened Amanda with her fist, and Evie came over to me and put her hand on my shoulder.
Amanda opened her mouth and started saying,
I went to my dad's work yesterday, and you know who I met there?
I had to do something to stop her from speaking. Evie tilted her head and asked if everything was okay, but I abruptly got up from my chair and yelled at her,
Why are you sticking it to me?
Amanda shut up. It worked.
Don't come near me. Don't touch me. You're nobody to me anymore, I said loudly. You're all nothing here.
I walked out of the classroom. At that moment, I made a firm decision to quit school, and I left. On my way home, I saw an ad for another job. I was immediately hired and handed out promotional stickers. Afterward, I would run home, drop off my mother's medication, and then go back to my cleaning job. I worked at such a frantic pace for more than a month, with no days off. My mother still didn't know that I dropped out of school. I decided not to burden her as she was already sick. She had back problems, and it turned out she had a spinal hernia. An expensive operation was required, for which I had to earn the money.
Hello? Yes, Mom, hi. Oh, I'm busy right now. I'll call you later, okay?
No, that's okay. I just got out of school. I'm going to the cafe with Edgar. Do you want me to grab you something nice?
Okay, all right. Come on. I love you. Bye-bye.
I talked to her on the phone and sat down on the floor I just scrubbed clean and cried bitter tears. My arms and legs were aching. Then the alarm sounded, and I changed my clothes and ran to my third job.
Young lady, can you hurry up with my order? Why are you so slow? What, a tip? You're the worst person to serve me. Who hires people like you?
Are you armless? My floors are better.
Who gives out flyers like that? You have to speak louder and smile, smile.
That's what I'd been hearing lately. Because of poor nutrition and lack of sleep, I couldn't work properly, but I tried so hard. Sometimes I remembered the days when my friends fed me delicious food, and I never even once invited them to my house because I was ashamed. Ashamed of the poverty and misery in which my mother and I lived. I didn't want them to know about it. All these years, I'd been pretending that we were living well while I was working. And when my mother got sick and my uncle ditched us for money, I finally realized that I couldn't tell them about it. I'd rather be a cold bitch than a miserable beggar. Meanwhile, the chat room continued to write nasty things about me. Only Evie, April, and Edgar weren't responding to the messages, and they weren't defending me anymore either. Yeah, well, that's what I wanted. Poverty was my vice. A couple more weeks later, I got sick, and my work rhythm was cut in half. I was on my knees scrubbing floors and breathing heavily. I had a fever.
Hey, Audrey! No running away this time. Thought I wouldn't recognize you.
Amanda, back off.
What did you say?
Amanda kicked the bucket, and all the dirt spilled all over the floor, which I just finished cleaning.
Is that why you bailed? What, ashamed of being poor? So much so that you decided to get rid of your friends and your boyfriend? God, that's noble. You did the right thing, though, you know. Being friends with bums isn't exactly promising.
Who said she stopped being friends with us?
Came a voice from behind me. I turned around and saw April. She walked up to Amanda, clenched her fist, and said,
I've wanted to do this for a long time.
But Amanda screamed and ran away. April helped me up. I was embarrassed.
How long have you known?
I asked her. April, looking into my eyes, said, A couple of days ago I saw you at the cafe.
And I saw you handing out flyers, Evie said.
Oh no, the girls. They cleaned the floors for me, then they took me home. I opened the door, and there was the pleasant smell of food coming from the kitchen.
Hey, I finally got your house.
What? What are you doing here?
You're not the only one. It's our first time at her house, too.
Nice house. Why didn't you let us in?
She was afraid you'd empty her fridge, like me.
The girls laughed and came up to my smiling mom to get acquainted, and Edgar came up to me.
Sorry, I...
It's okay.
We're the ones who are sorry that it took us so long to understand. It was only later that we understood why you did this. I love you, and I don't intend to say no just because you're in trouble. We're a team. I cried. You know, I'd been so wrong about them. They helped me make money. Edgar, thanks to his father's connections, found my uncle and he paid off the debt. And a year later, my mom and I did a good repair on the house and I was reinstated to the school.
Share this podcast to all social media, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook and so on, and you'll be given a shout out. Also drop your social media username so that we can find you. Thanks for your support. Make sure you subscribe to our YouTube channel by clicking the link in this episode description. You should also please follow or subscribe to our other podcast, My Animated Story, by clicking on this episode description. And also, kindly please rate and review this podcast. Bye.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.